Harry Kennedy was going to come tonight. He's 92 or 3, you know, something like that. He rang me up this morning and said he was coming, and the weather changed. He changed. Number 10. Blessed be the tie that binds.
Well, for he shall be king and lord. To Tubal people came many a one, as he wrought by his roaring fire, and each one prayed for a strong steel blade as the crown of his desire. And he made them weapons, sharp and strong, so they shouted loud for glee, and gave him gifts of pearl and gold and spoils of the forest tree. And they sang, "Hurrah for Tubal-Cain, who has given us strength anew. Hurrah for the smith, hurrah for the fire, and hurrah for the metal tree." But a sudden change came over his heart as the setting of the sun, and Tubal-Cain was filled with pain for the evil he had done. He saw that men with rage and hate made war upon their kind, that the land was red with the blood they shed in their lust for carnage, blind. And he said, "Alas, that ever I lay, or that skill of mine should plan the spear and the sword for men whose joy is to slay their fellow man." And for many a day, old Tubal-Cain sat brooding o'er his woes, his hand forbore to smite the oar, and his furnace smouldered low. But he rose at last with a cheerful face and a bright, courageous eye, and bared his strong right arm to work, while the quick flames mounted high. And he sang, "Hurrah for my handiwork!" And the red sparks filled the air. Not alone for the blade was the bright steel made, and he fashioned the first plowshare. And men, taught wisdom from the past, in friendship joined their hands, hung the sword in the hall, the spear on the wall, and plowed the willing land. And sang, "Hurrah for Tubal-Cain, our staunch good friend is he. And for the plowshare and the plow, to him our praise shall be. But should oppression raise its head, or a tyrant would be lord, so we may thank him for the plow, we'll never forget the sword."
Had a rest, you got your wind back, so we're going to call the roll this time. Number 37. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound.
And the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When
one, I think you'd probably feel like stretching your legs, but this is one you can do. It's how great thou art. Number 96, first and last, if you care to stand up, you might be feeling a bit comfortable than sitting all the time. It's up to you. 96. I think we can have the first and the third and the fourth verses. 1, 3, and 4.
Oh. remember Bobby got
Bird Song.
Yeah.
Bird Song at Eden time.
Bird Song at Eden, that's right. He was the first Ronnie Rennell.
Yeah.
Before Ronnie Rennell.
Well.
In a monastery garden, yes. You've been to the talent competitions in the Palace Gardens as well?
Same
concert party.
Happy Hands, yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. I follow in a great family tradition. Of course, he moved out of Paul Rose, you know. He went to Spring Valley. We went posh. We were an October Duchess. Some years ago, when we moved to Peel, yes, it's not a great move in my life, but I've moved all the way up from Poros to Peel. Around the corner lived William O'Crane, as a lot of you will know, and at that time he was playing the old next to John's, and he was long retired then, of course, and he was writing hymns and songs. And he used to come round, usually on a winter's evening, he just lived around the corner from us in Queen's Drive. And there'd be a knock on the door in dark evening, and he'd say, "Hey, I've written some more songs, will you come up and sing them and see how they sound?" So I'd go to Willie's house, and he had a harmonium there. It's only a small thing, but he had a harmonium. This is after his wife had passed on. And this particular song, he had a group of songs, and he said, "If these are all right," he said, "you can take them up to school and photocopy them, and then we'll send them in the museum and see if they'll print them." And anyway, this particular song, he told me all about how he'd come to write it. He was walking up Glen Moor one day, and he came to the little keel that's up there. I don't know if you know what the keel is now. Between the bottom and Spurs Bay. And he said he was standing in the middle of this, something tiny. And he was standing in the middle of it, and he felt very strongly the thoughts and the memories of those people that worshipped there, all those hundreds of years ago. And it was there that he got the idea for singing this particular song, and since then it's become quite popular, a lot of singers sing it. He told me, he'd given me the first copy of it, and it's the first time that it'd been someone I sang. I don't know how many people told that to. But because I live nearest to him, it might even have been true. But I'd like to sing it tonight. It's the song of the Manx Crofter. Is the breeze on the shore?
89. We thank the Lord for this first and the last. On behalf of the congregation of Follenbeg Methodist, I'd just like to say a few thank yous, which I think are very important tonight. It's quite right that, in fact, the room that you're sitting in currently was built in 1854. We now use it as our Sunday school. The next door, where you were for service, was built in 1900, and in September this year, we did have in there, within a day, our anniversary service of our centenary service. So from 1900 to 2000, to within a day, we had the service exactly the same. Only they were having it for an opening, and we were having the service for an opening of another century and millennium. So the continuation is there. Harry Galbraith, when he came out here this evening to talk and to sing for you, he said that, in fact, he comes from Poros, and he hoped that the community spirit would long continue here in this chapel. That's what the aim of all of the congregation of Follenbeg Methodist is, that in fact the community spirit, the fellowship, will remain so that we can use the buildings as they were built for. And in actual fact, if you think of the courage of the people who were prepared 100 years ago to actually commit themselves to raising the funds to build a chapel, to actually build one, which is actually quite amazing, isn't it? So with those words, I'd like to thank each and every one of you both for helping our congregation along this evening, and in fact, the contributions which have been received tonight come to £200.50, so thank you very much for that. As far as the community goes, that's fine. But tonight we pay a special tribute to the community of the Madness Choir. They are themselves a special group. We've seen them here on a few occasions now, that they've come along to swell our congregation and to lead us in our worship. The Madness Choir give up their time regularly to go around the Isle of Man, supporting all over the place. This is an odd one, and Alan, we thank you and your choir members particularly for being prepared to put on a special for Follenbeg this year in our centenary year. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Mariners Choir. And I think it's only fitting that, in fact, we should pay tribute to Harry Galbraith also for singing for us both in chapel during our service, which he did so meaningfully, and tonight here afterwards, although I did try to fill him up with cakes to see if we could make him choke a little bit. But Harry, thank you very much indeed for that. And and I'd like to say a special thank you to Carol Little. I press ganged Carol when I saw her arrive tonight. I thought, well, hold on there, Carol. I've heard that a couple of times now, and I thought it was well worthy
on what you've heard tonight. So thank you, Carol.
You're doing well with your applause, so don't dry it up. We had a man who prepared to lead the service. He was prepared to stand in the pulpit and lead the service, give us his thoughts and lead us in worship with his sermon. A big round of applause. Must be a fair man, he's grown a beard. That's a good marker for a start. And then as a mere man, I'd like to pay a big tribute to the ladies out there yonder. Yeah. They've done well, they've provided lots of food, and not only did they provide a fair bit of food for us, I hope you've had enough, but also the washing up has been going on whilst we've been able to sit here. That's not a bad idea, men, is it? It's a good idea. Thank you very much to the ladies, and a big thank you also to Better Half sitting over there at the Ivory. Yeah. I can assure you that she's very good at bullying and cajoling everybody. So, well done. Thank you very much.
And it's a privilege for us to take part in your centenary year. Our closing hymn, just the first and last verses, I think, is number 22. It's an apt one, I think, for this occasion. Count your blessings. Amen. Amen. One by one. Number 22, the first and the last. And at the end of that, perhaps, the Reverend Robinson would say a final blessing at the end.
Grace and young, Jesus Christ. Before you leave, if anybody feels like it, there are some cakes left. I've told the ladies have parceled them up. They will be prepared to sell them to you, I understand. So there's still one or two left. And incidentally, folks, just one moment before you go. If we can, just one moment before you go. In the Mariners Choir, now that it's over, we have a gentleman who has entertained and given up his time for a long period
all sorts of occasions, whether it be a group of two or three, or whether it be a big full hall, he's always been prepared to come out to entertain. He scraped away on an old saw. Now, Jack Watterson was 78 on Thursday.
Oh. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy